Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for downloading this fine audio podcast. I'm a Mr. Matthew Boyle, and he's a Mr. Tom Parry, and we're going to delight your ears with the titillating news of video games for the next 60 minutes. Hope you enjoy.
Ooh, Tom, that tack.
That's like the most camp Tom and Matt attack you've ever done. Ooh.
Ooh, maybe we should continue it throughout the entire podcast, Matthew.
I can speak with a smooth radio voice for the rest of the podcast if you
work,
really like. No, I don't think it's going to.
No. So,
right.
I want to start off talking about Splatoon, which I had the opportunity to play yesterday through Nintendo's Test Fire event.
Yes.
During specific slots during the 9th of May, you could have a go at playing Splatoon online. Now, Splatoon's Nintendo's new sort of kiddie-friendly shooter type, team-based shooter type
yes,
game.
Yes, it is. It is a third-person action shooter thing over the shoulder view you shooting things as a squid.
Yeah, to me it feels like Nintendo are embracing this genre that they haven't really embraced yet. A popular online genre of video games.
Yes.
And doing it in their own Nintendo way.
Yes.
And I have to say, for the most part, it's very successful in doing that. I found it to be very addictive. And I could even tell in the last 5 minutes of the last slot of the day that there was a lot of people trying to get on to just to play it for that last opportunity. So I think it's been a hit. I don't know. I've not actually read any thoughts on the game from anyone else, but I can share with you what I thought of Splatoon.
I saw nothing but good things on Twitter. The only negative things I saw were my own gripes with Splatoon, is that people didn't like controlling the movement with the gamepad, as was reflected by our good friend Austin, so I'm glad I'm not alone in that respect.
It takes a little bit to get used to, but as I've explained to you earlier before the podcast, I've been doing a bit of that with Blue Estate on the PS4.
Yes.
But there's a lot more going on in Splatoon. But I think what Austin was having trouble with was when he wanted to move the camera, he was moving the gamepad. But you don't have to. You can use the right stick to move the camera. And you've just got to get that balance right between how much you actually have to move that gamepad and how much you should move the camera.
Yeah. It's a little
bit cumbersome at first, but I think after you've been playing it a while, you get used to it.
I didn't take part in the, what was it called?
Global test fire?
Yeah, well, it's a stress test, isn't it? Like, they wanted to get as many people onto the servers as they could at certain peak hours of the day just to see what it would be like when they actually had to launch it. Which is a good thing from Nintendo, because usually people launch these things and they're like, yeah, play the beta, even though this is the finished game, we're just testing our servers.
Yeah.
So, at least they're being a little bit more transparent
and
about
it did
these
buckle
things.
Under the pressure at the end.
Yeah?
The games dropped out a lot. It was hard. I finished about the two games in a half-hour period, which the games are quite fast-paced, so it was a shame. It's a little frustrating, but I kind of accepted it for what it was, that everyone was wanting to play it.
Yeah.
In the afternoon when I played it, this was Danish time, about 1 p.m., 2 p.m.
Yeah.
It was fine. There was no issues like that whatsoever. I just presume everyone was on in the evening.
I guess with the evening as well, you probably had a lot of American people like getting onto the servers as well.
I did see
perhaps
quite a few Japanese on there.
Yeah.
At least they had Japanese names.
Yeah.
So I'm presuming. So what is Splatoon? As we say, it's a team-based shooter. What interested me is I didn't know about the different classes, actually, going into Splatoon.
I didn't get to play different classes.
And each different class has a different way of playing. The rollers cover the most... the idea is to cover the arena in ink, team's colour ink. And you get this roller weapon, which covers a large area, but you can't really use it as a weapon and attack. And you can't really shoot up walls. So you can do a lot of space, but you're at some disadvantage.
Yeah.
There's a rifle, like a sniper rifle, which is really good for picking off the characters. Because you can kill
squids.
The squid characters, but it doesn't really have much. It just stops people from taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't really like that weapon. The other two are a better balance. You've got the like a mini gun. I say mini gun. It's a small version of the main super soak type gun. But that also gives you these big bombs as a secondary weapon. And then you've got a super soaker kind of one where you've got smaller water balloon bombs.
That was the one I played as in the...
That's like the standard one. But what's what really clever about how the whole thing sort of comes together with the abilities such as being able to turn into a squid and swim through your colour.
Yes.
And you'll have to do that to fill up with ink because you only got a limited amount of ink. So you're kind of forced into doing that, but it's also integral for you to move around because you're quite slow otherwise.
You can also hide in your own ink.
You can hide your own ink. So when someone's going to shoot you, you get down, try and fill it with ink, pop back up again. We'll just get away. It's very clever, the way it all kind of fits together, all these different gameplay elements, I thought. But there are a few issues. Austin brought this up, actually.
Yeah.
Once you choose a character class, you're stuck with that for the entire match. Okay. Once you die, you can't change your class, which could be a nice feature because then you can like create different strategies with your team. But the sheer fact you can't actually talk to any of your team members.
No, exactly. That's a bit of a pain.
The only thing you have is on the D-pad, you can select something like over here or good.
Yeah.
So you can kind of, you have a very limited way to talk to. And I think... that's a real shame, but I can see why Nintendo have done it. They don't want to create this negative... Potentially, yes, you could create a bit of negativity by people. Because it's a very fast-paced game. I can see people getting very frustrated and very aggressive playing Splatoon. And they don't want to channel this because they're Nintendo and they want to
don't
remain
family
friendly.
Don't make an online
friendly.
Competitive shooting game then. Because, I mean, like, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face... It's like, you don't want people to shout abuse at kids and young people playing this game, but at the same time, you're stopping people playing it as a team, which is kind of required. Because
I do feel a real team spirit playing Splatoon, actually. Yeah. And the fact that you can't actually talk to them lessens that experience a little bit. It could go that extra mile to be a real team game like Team Fortress or something.
Yes,
like that.
And I mean, if you think about it, like the people who are going to want to play it in a team are going to play it in a team and they're going to use Skype or some third party thing anyway.
Yeah, I'm so going to do
but
that
I mean,
with friends.
You know, like I play PS4 games, I play Battlefield sometimes on my own just if I'm killing 5 minutes. And that game, like, no one ever talks. Like, anytime me and my colleague Yaka play it on a Tuesday, like, we're just in a party on our own. Like chatting to us, so we're not really doing teamwork or stuff, like just having a chat and using the game as a chat room, same as what we were doing with Destiny, so I don't know, so maybe
it's all right. If at least Nintendo, it would be nice to them to feature a way to talk to your friends.
Yes,
that would have been good enough, I think. But overall, it's very addictive. They're fast paced little games. You know, you find yourself, just one more game. This whole idea of covering the area with paint is very rewarding. And it feels very fair as well. I felt like I was quite good at it, at least. I didn't feel that the game was unfair. I felt like it was a good balance.
Like I said, I didn't really have time to play it. It was a very short match because they were obviously trying to get people on and off as quick as they could. And the guy was like, right, okay, this button does this, this button does this, this button does this.
But you so need
like,
a bit of time with it.
Right, okay. But... like, even learning the buttons, like, I still couldn't get used to the fucking swinging the control pad round thing.
Yeah.
So...
I can see everyone won't go for that.
No.
And maybe it would have been nice to create an alternate...
Got two sticks for a reason. Just
scheme.
Use the two sticks, please.
Maybe Nintendo releases an update later.
Oh, God,
I don't know.
I hope so.
We'll see. But they want to be innovative. And it's great to see Nintendo being innovative and taking a chance on a new IP.
Yeah, exactly. One actually making a new game.
A lot
nice.
Of style. Yes. A lot of appeal. The visual appeal of this game is high.
It is.
In my opinion. The female character is a little bit more appealing than the male one because I like the long ear thing.
I don't mind the male character. Like I like both. I think the character design, especially with, like, the enemies in the first-person thing, looked really interesting. So.
Yeah, and that, there's a whole other game mode there to enjoy. And this was just, to say, the Turf War, it was called, that you could sample. But the way everything's came together, it just felt, wow, real clever game concept. This is why I invest in Nintendo. I want unique experiences like this. And I'm so happy that they're taking a chance in Splatoon. And I do hope it succeeds for Nintendo. Certainly, it's an enjoyable game. Yeah. I hope other people jump on the bandwagon and make it the success I think it deserves to be.
Well, it's okay. I mean, like, a lot of people played it. A lot of people seem to like it. I mean, there's not really a lot else on the Wii U, let's be honest. I mean, Kirby was released this Friday, finally, in Europe. But I think a lot of people will buy it, and then you can look forward to playing Splatoon for the next 30 years. So don't worry too much about it.
Wait for Splatoon 2. There's something very Sega about it. Actually, very Jet Set Radio, to be more specific.
Yeah.
But just the sheer fact of the concept and the originality and the kind of streetwise look of the game, everything to me screams Sega.
Yeah.
It's like a Dreamcast game.
It does have that vibe. I'm calling it now. The second one will be called Splatoon, but with one of the O's turned into a W. Toon. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
If they call it Splatoon 2, I'm going to go to Nintendo and slap people.
It's nice to see another game in a Sega kind of style. It really felt that to me.
Magic. It makes sense to me. Like that really rings a bell. That it, yeah, you're right. It does feel more Sega than Nintendo. Yeah, I guess also because it's like brightly coloured, like cel shaded 3D. Which, when you really think of that with Nintendo, you think more like Mario. But
I wouldn't quite. It's not quite cel shaded, but it's definitely got that cartoony vibe to it. With it, yeah, it's not as detailed as something like Mario Kart. It's a more bouncy, cartoon-like style.
Yes.
Bouncy. Don't think of a better word then.
But I mean, like, it isn't like playing a cartoon like Wind Waker is. No. It's a very different visual aesthetic. And I think Jet Set Radio is a very good example of that.
And the soundtrack even has like that Jet Set Radio kind of beats and such to it. So let's wait and see what the full game's like. Multiplayer is good. Works well online. Although there was some heavy traffic that evening.
Yeah, hopefully Nintendo will put some extra servers in place. Like, I guess that's what this was for, to see, okay, can these servers hold how many people?
One thing I'm a little bit concerned about is, what if everybody picks a paint roller? You know, is there some rules behind the scenes in place to stop people doing that? Because if you had four players per team, if all four were using the paint roller, they could have a real advantage over the other team.
Yeah, but then the people will just kill them, and then they'll just splot the ground. Like,
they must have done enough. I think there's a limit to say that only two. When I played it, there was never more than two people with the paint roller.
Okay. Maybe there is. There maybe it's first come first served. But I would assume the characters are balanced enough that you can cover more ground, but you're also probably got less defense than someone else.
I think it's a very deep game, and I can see people developing strategies. And once they get to grips with the controls, being able to use them to their advantage and be quite skillful at it.
There's a whole other level to it that isn't exposed in the stress test, and I haven't seen that was announced in Nintendo Directs, that you'll be able to, when you play online, you will gain online currency and you'll be able to buy items, which will make you faster. And
you do see that a little bit.
Yeah.
There are icons to do with clothes and those things, but they're never expanded on in the demo. But there we go. That's enough for Splatoon, I think. It's out the end of May. I can't remember exactly what date.
28th, you said to me.
Right at the end, yeah.
So that makes sense.
Seen it for £28 pre-order on Xavier. I couldn't remember if I was getting confused with... might be out on 29th and cost £28 if you order it.
Maybe.
As a pre-order. Not for advertising, that's the cheapest I've seen it. You can order direct from Nintendo for £35 and get a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
It's interesting though, it's a budget title as well. Like,
all Nintendo's releases seem to be around the £35 mark at the minute. Kirby
really? Is it?
Yeah.
Interesting, I'll have to pick that up.
Kirby's retail price is £35. It's even that on the eShop.
Have you seen it here in Denmark?
No, I haven't been out looking for it.
Neither have I.
You can get it for £28 on Amazon.
Oh, interesting.
It seems like a lot of the online stores are discounting them to about £28. All new Wii U releases. So when you get something that's a new game like Lego Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah? The Wii U version is the cheapest of the bunch. It's £28.
Interesting.
So it could become a popular console because of the
cheaper games. Very interesting.
Ooh.
I might swing it. Okay.
Okay. And what have you been playing, Matthew?
That's playing very little, Thomas. As those of you who follow my YouTube channel, Boyographic, will have seen, I actually only uploaded my video of Mega Man 3 on the Game Boy today. And that's because it's a fucking really, really hard game. Like, I was dumbfounded by how hard it was. Like, I played this game pretty much most of my spare gaming time last week. Like, you hear about Mega Man games being hard, and I've beaten Mega Man 1, I beat Mega Man 2, I beat Mega Man 3 on the original NES, and I didn't really have that much of a problem. But, fuck me, like, I couldn't get over the difficulty level. There's one stage in that game on a robot master from Mega Man 3 called Dustman stage. Yeah. And it's just insane. There's, like, falling ceilings, there's, like, really tricky jumps, there's, like, enemy placement, so as soon as you get up a ladder, if you accidentally press up a bit too vigorously, you'll hit into an enemy, and it's just bastardly level design. It's a bit depressing. But overall, it's a pretty solid title. Like, you can go check out the review on youtube.com/biographic. It's a long one because I did have a lot to say about
it. Yeah, but I don't think it was too long at all. I think there's plenty to say about that game. It felt a good length to me.
Thank you. That's good to know. Hmm. Other than that, I did my usual Tuesday thing of playing a little bit of Battlefield 4. The DICE servers seem to not be very active. It seems like EA are trying to wind down their own servers, and they're giving people the option of buying their own servers on there, much like a PC setup would have people using their own servers, but you could buy them from EA. And then they got weird game modes, so we're kind of getting a bit peeved playing Battlefield 4 because there's not really a lot there.
Okay, so you think about moving on to something else?
There's nothing else to move on to, though.
We did talk about Borderlands.
We did. I'm still considering playing Borderlands.
That's proven itself to be a good game.
Yes, it is a good game. I've played it on the previous generation console, so maybe I will upgrade to the Handsome Jack collection on the PS4 mm-hmm. and play a bit of that. I know you'd be interested then, and I know there's a few other people we work with who would also be interested. So,
or you could just wait for Battlefront.
Yes, but that's not until like September or October, I think.
And will that just go the way of Battlefield?
Well, I assume it will, but it'll have Star Wars things. And like, it'll be at least a little bit more to it, I guess. Yeah. So we'll see how that is. We did play Blacklight Retribution, however.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a free-to-play first-person shooter on the PS4.
I mean, what's that like? What kind of game? I know it's a first-person shooter, but
yeah. I would liken it to Halo. It's kind of like a futuristic, like, your big, chunky, kind of robot-y dudes shooting each other. Obviously, like, going from something like Battlefield 4, which, you know, despite all its flaws, is a very polished, very well-realized game. Yeah. Like, it handles very nice, even if I disagree with some of, like, the range on some of the weapons and stuff. Just feels too realistic for me and kind of takes me out of playing a game. But Warframe kind of felt like you were... Blacklight Retribution, is because we were also going to play Wolf. I haven't yet. I've put it on download, so I'll try it next week. But we played a bit of Blacklight. It felt very sluggish. It felt like playing perhaps like an early PS3 first-person shooter rather than a later game in that generation, which Battlefield 4 is. So it wasn't as smooth. Things didn't take as smoothly as they could have. It was a bit ropey in places, but like not unplayable. It was very fast. That's why I liken it to Halo. It's a very fast game. So much so that Jakob didn't really like it because he's used to the more methodical first-person shooters like Battlefield. But I, as you know, I'm a big fan of the Halo series. I really like Destiny's shooting.
Did it feel like it was a free game, though? Was it a bit rough around the edges?
It was a little bit rough around the edges. It felt, like I said, like an early PS3 game. Hmm. However, like, I was using the weapons and then we were getting like killed by like one-shot guys who were higher levels who'd obviously purchased guns.
I've had the same experience with Black Ops 2 recently.
Yeah. That's why I don't like Call of Duty games. Like, if you don't get into the thick of it straight away, you get left behind, and then people prestige and have ridiculous guns.
You respawn a lot of the times. Not every time. You die.
Yeah.
It's so fast. I mean, it can be a lot of fun, but it can be incredibly frustrating. And I tell you, Splatoon, in comparison, with the breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Mm. It's not too bad. It's not like COD level of like, brup, and you're dead.
Yeah, that's a good...
there were one or two like moments like that, but like I said, they were people who'd bought guns, and this is my main issue with it. You can collect in-game currency, which is kind of the equivalent of XP in the game, to get weapons. However, a lot of the currency, depending unless there's a special on that day, which there was, and I got a gun with in-game currency, involves you buying currency.
Like, yeah, that's how they get a free-to-play model.
Or you can play, you know, you can rent a gun using in-game currency for 24 hours, and then you can buy it for real money. Ooh, and it's just like,
I know, this gives me shudders.
Yeah, I'd like the option, you know, even if you made the gun expensive with in-game currency, just to buy it with that rather than me having to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. But
something you'll continue playing, do you think?
Probably not. Jakob didn't really seem that fussed. I thought it was a bit nicer to play than Battlefield, just because it was something different.
So you're not interested in playing Destiny anymore?
I got no interest in Destiny. Like, I did that first raid, and that, I thought that was a really nice experience. Mm. And then they released the DLC, and I would have had to pay for the DLC. But then I realised, oh shit, actually all of these weapons that I've spent numerous hours collecting are completely fucking worthless now, because there's a new tier of weapons above them. Mm. And I couldn't be asked to do it. It's like I hit... Once I played World of Warcraft enough to realise that this was a never-ending carrot chase, that I would always be chasing better loot... Hmm. That broke World of Warcraft for me. And now MMOs and any massively multiplayer game that wants me to grind for gear feels very much the same.
Yeah.
The raid experience was nice, much like it is in WoW, in Destiny, but I can't be asked to spend a shitload of time to get better weapons to then get better weapons. Like, I like getting better weapons to experience that content, but then the whole idea of running raids and getting better gear and stuff doesn't appeal to me. And I really wish it didn't really affect the multiplayer as much as it does in that game. If they just had, like, regular team deathmatch and stuff where you just start with, like, a basic weapon or something, I would love
that.
But
isn't there
no, there isn't. You use your own weapons. And even though they say, like, oh, well, yeah, we balance out the damage, like, if you've still got this really rare shotgun that's got, like, 12 shotgun shells in it while everyone else has got 3, you're still at an advantage, like... It doesn't scale your gear to suit the multiplayer. So, yeah. And all that.
Looking for that elusive, perfect first-person shoot online experience.
I hope Destiny 2, because let's be honest, it's going to come, will be better and take more of these things into consideration. Yeah. But until then, I need a new experience. Like I said, I wanted Evolve, but from what I can see of that game, it's just kind of dissolved into nothing.
It's so, de-evolved.
Yeah, it has, which is a bit of a shame, because it seemed like a really interesting concept. But again, it's one of these games that, despite an interesting concept, seems like a lot of the content in that game is locked behind paywalls, and so people can be asked to pay more money for it.
Shame.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I was actually thinking about this earlier. I bought a new TV stand, so hopefully by next week I'll have all of my consoles set up again, and I'll be knee-deep in gaming on a long bank holiday weekend we have next week. And I was thinking, like, oh, it's interesting, like, we're almost 2 years into this console generation at this point. There are no games that I'm really looking forward to still. Like, there's nothing really on the horizon that I'm like, shit, I really need that game that has been announced, at least at the moment. Maybe there'll be things at E3 that change my mind, but at the moment, I can't think of anything. And I was just like, oh, shit, by this time, I'd already had my Xbox 360 for 2 years, and I was considering buying a PS3. But there's no reason for me to buy an Xbox One. Like... So both consoles pretty much seem pretty barren.
Hmm.
I guess, I've been talking about in the last couple of weeks, I've been buying
looking
more
forward
stuff.
To Mad Max, actually.
Yes, Mad Max will be a good game, hopefully.
It looks like a good game. It looks like... I'd rather get Mad Max than Just Cause 3. Yeah. I'm making that comparison because they're both developed by Avalanche.
Yes, they are.
But Mad Max looks like a much more interesting prospect. It's a similar open world kind of game.
Yeah.
And it just made me think of Rage... So much.
Yeah.
Really. The comparisons between Rage and the new Mad Max game, they see, you know, having your own car, customizing your car, you know, going around a desert world, taking on missions, surviving. It's very much like Rage, and I like Rage a lot.
Yeah.
I know, people don't talk about Rage much anymore.
No, they don't.
But I thought it was a very competent, enjoyable game.
Yeah. I always confuse Rage with Brink, because they came out at the same time. Yeah.
I don't think they're comparable.
No, I don't.
I've been playing a game on PS4. If you listen to last week's podcast, you'll know that I've been quite into Lemmings lately.
Was it Lemmings on the PS4, Tom?
No, it was Flockers by Team 17. This is like an evolution of Lemmings.
Really?
It's a very similar concept. You've got some sheep, you've got to get them to a goal.
Yeah.
But it's like Lemmings, but on another level in terms of how much you've got to concentrate.
Okay.
Because sometimes you'll have two, I think this happened in Lemmings at one point as well, you'll have to look after two separate start points.
Yeah.
They'll be coming out, they'll be spawning in two separate points. I think that happened in Lemmings too, in the tribes. But the whole levels themselves are a lot more elaborate than Lemmings ever were. The different multi-tiered levels and contraptions that move, and you, so many great ideas in there.
Yeah.
There's not a typical setup and not as many abilities as in Lemmings, but what you can do is stack sheep to, you know, like a blocker in Lemmings.
Yeah.
You stack two sheep on top, it creates a wall.
Yes.
Basically. And you can actually decide before the sheep actually moves to the point that you want him to do that at that point.
Yeah.
So you can set ahead, you can think ahead of yourself.
Okay.
And then there's, as well as that one, it's two sheep high. There's one sheep, and then there's a stairs. You can create a stairs of sheep. So they, that's like the bridge.
Yeah.
There's a super sheep, which can go up vertically up walls.
Okay.
And then there's the jumpers, which can jump large gaps.
Yeah.
The thinking of it actually is different than Lemmings because there's more to think about.
Yeah.
As mentioned about having two different start points. Also, your sheep get separated at times. You have to hold some sheep there where you do some, where you flick a switch with some another sheep to open up something else. And you've got to really keep your eye on the traps as well, because there's a lot of traps in flockers.
Okay.
And there's not so much emphasis put on rescuing every sheep, because sheep are going to die. That's what happens. And I think the game knows that. It's not like it, you're trying to get every sheep. There is a 3-star rating that you can get.
Yeah, but that's more for like two sheep.
I can imagine that's really difficult to get. Yeah, so a lot of sheep will die.
Yeah.
And that's quite fun watching them get cut up into little pieces, and it's quite entertaining. Quite frustrating as well, though, at times.
Yeah.
What's great also is you can, you'll find where you have to turn all your sheep into jumpers or all your sheep into super sheep at points, and you can change the radius of your selection to a bigger radius. So you can select
by
a
holding
bunch
down a button or
By tapping square, it makes the selector bigger. So you
can
select a big group and change them. It's great. I'd say it's not as methodical as Lemmings and not as relaxing as Lemmings can be. I know Lemmings isn't always relaxing, not in the later difficulties. But Flockers, from the off, it doesn't mess around.
Well, I guess, you know, it's kind of, it's playing off the established thing that is Lemmings.
Yeah, which is great because, it, as I say, it's the next level up. It's a, definitely a progression of Lemmings. It's like hardcore Lemmings with sheep, and they bleat out of the controller as well constantly.
Can you make the controller vibrate while it bleeps?
I'm not sure, Matt.
I'm sure you're interested. That out.
But I really like Flockers, and I played through the first maybe 10 levels or something like that.
Okay,
but it was an exhausting experience by the end of it.
Really?
Like, yeah, this is, it's stressful.
Okay,
but it's very rewarding and very well made, and looks great, and constantly excited by the new contraptions that appeared in the game, and walk it, platforms that walk that you move sheep onto, and then they go down elevators. Wow, it's a really great game. I think.
Sounds pretty nice.
I heartily recommend it for fans of Lemmings. A game which also played was the latest version of Lemmings, Lemmings Touch for the Vita.
Yes, you told me about this.
Yeah. It's okay. It's pretty good. It actually rehashes some old levels as well as creating some new levels, but adds in this touch control scheme, which doesn't work quite well because you have to use your finger to select lemmings. And you know, your fingers aren't tiny little accurate things for selecting very tiny characters.
And it's not like on the 3DS where you have a stylus. You can do
no.
this pinpoint.
And
position.
You're putting your hand over the entire screen, pretty, you know, covering up things. It's not helped by the fact that instead of having your lemmings abilities displayed across the bottom and you've been able to tap a button like on the other portable versions of Lemmings to scroll through, which is a great feature of those games, you have to tap the lemming you want to perform the action. A thought bubble will appear above his head with all the different actions in, and this thing will cover up a lot of the screen. It'd be in different play. You can move it around, try and move it out of the way. But it's just another thing to contend with while you're trying to play the game.
Yeah.
It's not exactly very intuitive.
That's a shame.
It's not a bad game by any means, though. And it the actual touch mechanics work quite well in places to move platforms with your finger.
Yeah.
And such like that. There's also these bad lemmings. I forget what they're called. But the idea of them is not to let them into the goal at the end and stop them from getting into the goal.
Naughty lemmings.
So yeah, there's things where you can squish them. You can time platforms so you push it down and squish the red lemmings. So far, new levels. They're not introduced a lot, but I imagine later there'll be more challenging levels.
Yeah. Are they like, do they infect your lemmings? Do they infect your lemmings?
Well, oh yes, they get mixed up with your lemmings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. They mix them in with yours. So you've got to find ways to separate them out from yours, and which is a neat concept.
Yeah.
But it just feels awkward. The control scheme. The one thing they're selling this game on, being original, is the touch controls.
Touch screen, yeah.
But they make the whole experience more awkward than it needs to be. they create more problems than gaming delights, which you'd think that it would make a more interesting game. It doesn't.
Yeah.
So.
That's a shame.
Yeah. It's not bad by any means, but I wouldn't rush out and get it.
But isn't it the same version that's on the PS4?
No. Lemmings Touch is a unique game for the...
Okay.
There is no Lemmings available on PS4. Isn't PS3.
That? Is the PS3 ones then the
based
PSP
upon
one?
The PSP and PS2 games, but it doesn't feature as many levels as either of them.
No, that's a shame. Well, hopefully if Lemmings comes to the PS4, then maybe it'll be based on Lemmings Touch.
It might be. Yeah.
And then maybe they'll make it a bit more intuitive, who knows?
Maybe they'll fix up some of those issues of Lemmings Touch on the PS4, if it ever does happen. I actually played the original PSP Lemmings as well. And that's great.
Okay.
It's got all the classic levels. It's got some great new levels from Team 17 designed. And yeah, it's really good. And I really loved having a cursor and being able to accurately select the lemmings I wanted to do things. It's a great game. I think that's a great reimagining of it. One of the best handheld version of Lemmings you could probably buy is the PSP one. Because if you compare it to the other previous versions, Game Boy ones, Lynx ones and such. And while they're the original game, I think this is still the best version. Because it takes the original game and it updates it. All the music's not the same, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's still good in its own way. So, yeah, I've been spending a bit of time with the PSP, actually, on bus journeys last week. And just been loving it. It's a fantastic console.
It is.
It's the perfect size and weight. There's something like this is. Compared to the Vita, which is... Well, this original Vita is a little bit heavy, a little bit cumbersome. Not bad by any means. Yeah. It's got a nice big screen. But the PSP was perfect. The screen was big enough. The console was the right weight. The games load incredibly quickly, actually. At least the ones I've been playing. Soul Calibur Broken Destiny, which I have installed onto a memory card in it. The load time's nearly non-existent in that game. And it's great for a portable system.
Yeah.
Graphics are sharp on the PSP. Really sharp, actually. And colourful. I guess the 3000 model has even brighter screen.
I've played some serious JRPGs on the PSP. That was my before I really got into playing them on the DS. Even, like, played some Tales of Eternia. I played some Crisis Core. It's a very comfortable system to hold for a long period of time.
It's the slim and light one you were using.
I was just using the regular.
The regular one, okay. Yeah, my own experience has been with the slim one, and I absolutely love it. I also played Loco Roco 2.
Oh, that's a fucking good game.
Yeah, I completed the original Loco Roco, and I remembered that I had 2, so I've been playing through that again.
Yeah.
Really good game. Looks great in the PSP. And I'll tell you, Lemmings. Also, you can play your PS1 games on the PSP. I played a bit of Vib Ribbon the other day. But I love that console. And I know at the time when I had both the DS and the PSP, I would play the PSP a lot more, actually. And I'd say it's the best handheld console of all time.
Well, you're talking gibberish, because that's obviously the Nintendo Game Boy. But we won't get into that yet.
I love the PSP. And I just wanted to talk about it again because I think perhaps it's slightly overlooked
in the gaming history. I would probably say the Game Boy Advance SP is probably the greatest handheld system of all time. Because not only can it play the amazing games that Nintendo made for the Game Boy and Game Boy Color, but it can also play some 16-bit classics from the Super Nintendo era that were downscaled to that console. And then you have a whole wealth of fantastic titles for
it. Yeah, but the PSP, the kind of games you can play on that thing, big console quality games on a handheld, which is light and small and got fast load times. It's a nice piece of kit. There we go. I won't say any more about that because I know I can't convince Matthew that it's...
I'm rather biased towards...
Wait, it doesn't have the all the classic games, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't have any Nintendo games.
No.
And its Sonic games are very dubious as well. Yeah. Like, what's it called? Sonic Rivals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you can play the old ones on it as well, so... If you have the means.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I talk about Stick of Truth? Because I'm playing that.
Yeah, go for it. That's a game I've completed, so I can actually talk about that.
Let's talk about South Park Stick of Truth, which I started playing today.
A game that's, at this point, almost 2 years old.
It's like, it's not like playing a video game, in my eyes.
No, it isn't.
Actually,
it's fucking awesome.
You sit down and it's like watching an episode. It really is. There's no exaggeration to that whatsoever. To me, actually, it felt like I was playing a game on a computer, like a Flash game.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like a traditional video game. And I really like that about it, actually. Because I'm not a big RPG player.
You are not.
Yet this, I describe as being perfect for people who aren't really into RPGs but want to kind of get into it a little.
Yeah.
Because the fact that it's South Park and the fact that it's funny obviously helps. It goes a long way to make the game very appealing. But it's actually very satisfying. The battling is really quite enjoyable. And they actually wanted to have fights with characters.
Yeah, but it's Paper Mario's battle system.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
See, I haven't played a lot of that, actually. So.
Yeah.
That whole idea of timing it moves exactly adds an extra element to it. Like, that flashes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you press a button the right
way. The Mario
and
Luigi games also do that. It's a Nintendo RPG thing that they've flat out admitted they played Paper Mario and said, this is what a South Park game should be.
And it's the right fit for it,
I think.
And, of course, the characters are fantastic. The progression of it was good. You know, what have I done? So I got the secret coffee ingredients for Tweak, and I went back and he joined the team.
Yeah.
And I got the gas mask and was able to get through security to... what's the kid's name? I forget.
I can't remember.
Well, you get another kid and then you go back to Cartman. And then you know, you're missing one more kid and you've got to get into the school. One kid's in detention.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's Craig.
Yeah, Craig. Yeah. You got to get Clyde before that. It was the other kid, was he?
It could have been. I can't remember. No, Clyde's already there.
Oh, no,
Clyde's
like,
the one that teaches you at the beginning.
Really unenthusiastic, yeah.
I've got Clyde's helmet on at the minute.
Yeah.
And Timmy does the speed moving.
Yes.
You know, he's his little carriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so well thought out. I like the the remark that Cartman makes when you try and speak to Cartman's mum. He says, you don't need to speak to her.
Yeah.
Come on. You know. She's not part of the game.
Yeah.
So, a self-aware RPG that's able to make fun of the RPG tropes.
Yes.
Which, you know, so many games reuse. And
just you wait. That game gets insane. Like, it's one of my favourite games.
It's kind of like, it's got a point-and-click adventure-type mentality as well to figuring out what you need to do in places. I like the friends system as well. When you get more friends, that you can get more abilities.
Yeah.
I met Al Gore, though.
Yeah.
And I remember when you were playing it, Al Gore wouldn't stop messaging
you. Bam, yeah.
I've kind of, maybe if I didn't speak to Al Gore, he wouldn't be able to... bother me.
But you get on it's a quest chain and he becomes a boss later on
you have to.
Well, if you want to get
Man
friends
Bear Pig.
And stuff, yeah. He keeps talking about Man Bear Pig. Yeah.
Which you can go and find him and
yes.
Yeah. But visually fantastic, great for first time RPG players, I'd say, who aren't really fans of the genre.
Yeah. If you're not a fan of South Park, though, equally, if you're a Nintendo player, please play one of the Super Paper Mario games or the Mario and Luigi games.
I think you have to like South Park a bit, at least.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very strong game, but you get a great appreciation out of it if you do, if you are familiar with South Park and do enjoy
And as
it.
You are burning through South Park in your free time, there's just so many in-jokes and so many things you'll find funny because you've watched South
Park. Actually be able to spend time in South Park and really explore. It's a game that lets you explore South Park.
Yes.
It's perfect for a South Park video game.
It is.
It was a stroke of genius.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Almost never happened as well.
Really?
Yeah. It was being published by THQ and then it all fell through. That's why it was delayed for so long, because Ubisoft published it. And apparently there was rumblings of Ubisoft not really liking the tone and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And it almost never happened. It almost never came out. But I'm very glad it did. Hopefully we get a sequel.
Yeah. I play more of that. But I've got that to get through first.
I hope they do a PS4 version of it, because it was quite a late PS3 game, and then hopefully we can get it uncensored, because those bits still annoy me whenever they pop up and go, sorry, people in Europe. Yeah, quite a bit.
Really?
There's some bits, it's just like, when the fuck, like, they're things like, they give you a description that you were performing an abortion on Stan's dad, because he's got some alien fetus up his anus, and all this weird shit.
Would you say it's any worse than the show?
No, I don't think so.
I do know that, at least I think it's season 14 DVD box set, which I was looking at today, the Region 2 one. Two episodes are cut from that box set. They were not released in Europe because of censorship. And I don't know what they are. And I don't know the reason why you would not include two episodes of South Park. But I don't know if that's across all series of South Park. There's been episodes which haven't been released for purchase.
I don't know. I will hold my hands up high and say I've watched all of the episodes of South Park either on television or on the internet, on websites that shan't be mentioned. But I've pretty much seen every episode of South Park. I haven't seen the last two seasons, though. I really need to watch
I've got season 760.
Yeah.
16.
Season 40, and I'm very curious to see what those are. I bought a few games this week, surprise, surprise. Nothing that really broke the bank. I went to the neighbouring town of Horsens yesterday and I picked up a few Phoenix games.
You did.
Because Thomas and I are going to start filming some Phoenix games. I know we've promised this in the past, but Tom's actually going to edit them now.
We have already done it.
Yeah, well,
Once upon a time.
We did
Dead Eye Gym. Banners and everything.
Yeah, I know. We did Dead Eye Gym, but... We can
is
record
that lost
more.
To the halls of time?
I think so, unfortunately. I will double check on the Mac, but I'm pretty sure it's gone, which is a shame. I picked up Caveman Rock, which actually seems like it is a Taito game or of some variety, some puzzle game. Krabby Adventure, which also seems like another puzzle game. I picked up White Van Racer, which listeners of the podcast for a long time will have heard of us talk with glee about wanting to play
White
Van Racer.
Wanting to find that copy of White Van Racer. Every time I went to Horsens GameStop, I looked for White Van Racer, I have to admit.
And this is the first time I've seen it again, and I was like, I'm having you.
Yeah, because I saw it once and didn't buy it, stupidly.
Well, I saw it as well in Aarhus, in a store that sells secondhand games.
And
but they wanted,
because it's
like,
a great game that I really want to play, you'll see when... Hopefully we start doing these videos.
The level of quality of Phoenix Games is rather questionable. But they had it for like, it was like 15 quid. And I was like, I'm not paying 15 quid. They weren't even that much when they came out. So I didn't get it. And now finally I have the joy of owning it. I also got Robin Hood The Siege 2, which looks like it may be some game in the same vein of Dead Eye Gym. Or at least I hope it is a...
Fingers crossed. The studio that made Dead Eye Gym, I did a bit of research into. Do you remember this?
Yes, you did. You bought an Amiga game and
they
everything.
They made a fighting game, the Amiga, that's meant to be really good. I haven't had a chance to play it yet.
And then I got a WWC, World Wrestling Championships. See what they did there. Mm. Which I imagine would be very interesting. I assume it's probably a Japanese wrestling game that they've then just published. Yeah. And I also bought a game called Street Gang.
Street Warriors?
Street Warriors. It looks like a
There's
Streets
a dog
of Rage
on the cover.
Clone with as two well as... roidy looking chavs and a dog. So we'll play it. We'll see what it's like. I also picked up some Game Boy games because apparently the guy was saying, oh yeah, well, you know, we get Game Boy games in every now and again, but they're actively trying to... No, it was this secondhand store in Horsens.
Okay.
They said they're actively trying to get in retro games now because more and more people are coming in asking about them. But they had two games that I had a few games that I wanted, and unfortunately it sold, because the way they do their business is they line all their games up into like a grid that fits on an A4 paper, and then they take a picture, and then they just pull the catalogue down rather than having to fish through this giant basket of Game Boy games. And they'd had 4-in-1 Fun Pack, which is like drafts and chess and all this kind of stuff, which I've been after for a while and I've never seen a physical cart of. They had that and I was gone. They had the two Turtles games. I didn't have Radical Rescue and Revenge of Shredder, I think the third one's called, which are quite obscure games that I've, again, never seen in the wild, but they were both gone. So I ended up picking up, it was, for some reason they were having a buy two, get one free, like 3 for 2 in on the store that day. So I got all of those Phoenix games for the price of 4, so I paid like, what, £15, I think, for 6 games. Mm. Which is all right, because they were ones I wanted and to do this series with. But then I bought Game Boy games. I paid £8 for Yars Revenge, Choplifter 3, which is a original Game Boy game, which now brings me down to 99 Game Boy games to get, and a copy of Beauty and the Beast, the board game adventure, which I was just playing now, which actually isn't too bad. It's just a series of mini games. I was expecting it to be kind of shit, to be honest with you. I bought it thinking it was a platformer, and then it wasn't. It was a wonderful, wonderful board game adventure. Other than that, I picked up Spirit of F1 Race, which is a racing game by Konami, and a copy of Track and Field, but I haven't played those. Track and Field on the Game Boy was supposed to be notoriously bad, but they were both 50 cents each, with like €2 postage. So okay. I paid like €4 for them in total, so it didn't really matter.
No.
Yeah. Also got one or two others coming, but I'll talk about them on next week's podcast. What have you been buying, Tom?
A few things. I was on the PlayStation store, on the PS3 store specifically, and I bought Angry Birds Trilogy for $3.99.
Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah. I thought that was finally a reasonable price for that.
Yeah.
I like Angry Birds, as most people do. And previously, I just had a PlayStation Mini version of the original Angry Birds, which is a fine game and all, but it's kind of, because it's made for the PSP, it scales up pretty ropey on the and on the TV. And you've got, of course, you've got all three of the original Angry Birds games.
Yes.
You've got Seasons and Rio as well as the original.
Oh, okay.
And it's great. I mean, what more is there to say about Angry Birds?
I thought that would have included the space one instead of Rio.
Yeah. It doesn't include Angry Birds in space, actually.
Angry Birds in
that's
space!
That's kind of been lost now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Because you can get
Star Wars.
A physical copy of Star Wars.
And Transformers and all of this other stuff. It's a bit weird, because like, that was a big thing when that came out. Because that was like Angry Birds 2, and they actually did some interesting things.
Gravity.
Like Gravity in a Super Mario Galaxy way. That's a shame. I assumed that was on there. I assumed Rio was the one they wouldn't have included.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
It's on there, and it's good as ever. I bought Monopoly Plus for $3.99. Now, a long time ago, I played, I think it was Monopoly Streets on the Xbox 360 with some friends. And it was a fantastic experience.
I have a copy of that, but it's American. I don't know what actually happened
to
that.
It might work on it.
I think it's in work.
On your 360?
I'll have a look. I don't know what I did with that. I got given it by a colleague at work, who was just like, oh yeah, I used to work for Hasbro, here you go. I got this one. I worked there, and it's been in my box of crap from there ever since. And so I got it off him for free, and I brought it home and realised it was...
I'm hoping Monopoly Plus for the PS3 is the same sort of thing. It looks like it is. But, there we are. Next time I have some sort of social gathering, I might whip out my Monopoly Plus.
Okay, let's do it. And then all hate each other, because Monopoly is the most boring game in the world.
Oh, not on Monopoly Plus.
Oh, hopefully not.
SBK Generations, this is Superbikes.
Right.
$3.99.
Okay.
I haven't got a motorcycle racing game for the PS3. I enjoyed MotoGP back in the original Xbox.
Yeah.
I saw this affordable price and thought, I'm going to give this a go.
Yeah.
And I have played it, and it's a full-on simulation. It's a lot of depth to it, actually. And what's the best thing about it is the bikes have handled really well, and there's different setups depending on how much of a simulation you want to make the game. Graphics aren't very good, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter so much, because it is rewarding. My criticism would be, I did the first couple of races, and once I got out in front, that was it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's one of those type of games.
Very easy. But if you're really into superbikes, then you can go through the whole season and do the qualifying and do the tests and grade your bike, and there's a lot to it. There's two races every kind of circuit you do that you've got to win two. I think that's maybe a superbike rule or something.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not so familiar. My dad watches it a lot, but I never quite got into it.
Yeah,
watching it, that is. But playing the superbike game was enjoyable, and for the price, very happy with it.
Speaking of affordable games, I really need to pick up an affordable space adventure from our good friends at Knapknock Games, which has been released on the Wii U.
Yeah.
I need to get that and check it out for next week.
Don't forget. King of Fighters 94, I was bought for PS3. It was on sale. They had a retro arcade game sale on a few weeks ago. It was the day before that sale was going to end, and I thought, hang on, I don't think I own King of Fighters 94.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't released in the PS2 King of Fighters collection.
No, it isn't.
And it wasn't released on the Saturn, but it was released as a remake for the PS2 with remastered version, with the original and the one with better graphics. But it was, however, I found out, after purchasing it again for PS3, I already had it on a SNK arcade collection
that
was released on PS2 and PSP, which I own both of.
Yeah.
So I own it a third time now.
Oh, well, at least you can play with the fight stick.
Yeah, that's true. It's not my favourite King of Fighters.
I remember 94 being a bit ropey.
But it's fine. It's good. But I previously bought 97, rebought it because I have it on Saturn and on PS2. But I bought that on PS3 because it's my favourite. Oh, not 97. Take that back. 96.
I like 96. I like 2000.
96.
2000 is the one I played the most of.
Yeah. I also bought Lemmings 3D for the Saturn.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure at the time if it was the best version of Lemmings 3D or 3D Lemmings.
Yeah.
I think it's 3D Lemmings, actually. And I've later found out the PS1 version has slightly better load times. Actually, a lot better.
Oh, that's a shame.
The Saturn load times are twice as long as the
PS1. Keep an eye out. I see PS1 games a lot. I'm sure I can come across in the flea market.
I'm all right with it. You know, I don't think it's a terrible port. The load times are a bit bad, but as far as that,
everything else is fine.
It seems to be okay. So I've been buying a lot of Lemmings games lately, and I don't really want to go out buying different versions of more than just the original Lemmings.
Yeah,
you know, that's where I like to keep it at, buying different versions of the original, not different versions of Lemmings 3D, which isn't the finest game in the series.
No,
and I think I've got to draw the line somewhere.
I think you do, but
and I think I already have.
But you know, Tom, when life gives you lemmings.
Oh, that's good. If we hadn't had the Lemmings title last week for the podcast,
it would have been life when life gives perfect. You lemmings, yeah. It's gonna be gaming delights, I think, and you're gonna have to do an angel delight style thing, but never mind.
There's two more.
Okay.
Lemmings. I know no more lemmings.
Fucking
for the PS1. Now the PS1 version of Lemmings I've heard isn't the best, but still Lemmings of the PS1, and it's got a nice cover.
Okay.
Which is one of the things I've been collecting them for.
Okay. You bought it on the Game Boy yet?
I'm bidding on one now. It's not that same one that I brought up last week. Is still
going strong.
Still going. Lemmings for the Super Nintendo as well, Japanese version. Yeah. Got that now.
You need to get Lemmings 2 and then buy a Super Scope and then shoot Lemmings.
I got it. Yeah, I'll have the Super Nintendo one. I've got it.
Well, Lemmings 2, the Tribes. Lemmings 2, Tribes.
Is it Tribes?
It's Tribes. Yeah, it's got the Super Scope.
Ah,
yeah.
Ah, I've got Tribes on the Mega Drive and the Amiga already.
Need to get it on.
Do we need to get the Super Nintendo?
Super Nintendo,
as well?
Tom.
So I need to get a Super Scope too.
Yeah. Do I really want a Super Scope? I told you my dream when we had our apartment together before we moved out.
What's that?
I doubt that dream's ever going to be realized now. I wanted a gun rack, and I wanted to put of like the Menacer and the Super Scope on it,
and
a zapper.
And the PlayStation Move.
And the PlayStation Move thing. Machine gun. If I see one of those in the flea market, I'm still buying one. Yeah. I doubt I ever will though, because it's a useless peripheral that no one ever bought.
Oh,
but
no,
you enjoyed playing Killzone 3 with it.
I'd get Rambo if it was cheap enough to use it with that. Even though I've heard it's not a great game.
Yeah, oh well.
But more reasons to use my Move remote, the better.
Yes.
Now, there's another game I've been playing a fair bit of. It's the PlayStation Plus freebie.
Yes, I played a little bit of this earlier.
Race the Sun.
Yes.
And it's really great. And just download it because it's free.
Give it a go.
But what it is it's... what do you call it? It's kind of like... actually reminds me of an old... CDI game called Kefa, spaceship thing. You have to guide a spaceship through an area and don't hit any objects.
It plays like a faster version of Star Fox to me, like original Star Wing on the Super Nintendo.
Oh, there you go. That's a good...
But without the shootiness. No shooting. Just more the
you
guiding
dodge
your
things,
craft, yeah.
But also, there's an extra layer of it. You are racing the sun.
Yes.
You're a solar-powered vehicle. So once the sun goes down, your vehicle dies. So you have to keep collecting your power-up, this yellow orbs, which you can see quite clearly. You have to try and collect them to keep the sun at bay as you race the sun. You also can get bonus multipliers that bring your score. You're constantly, as long as you're alive, still you're gaining score.
Yes.
You can let multipliers, multipliers increase that score. But the game kind of evolves as you play it. And at the beginning, there's not a lot. You can't even upgrade your ship and get sun.
Yeah.
Once it goes dark, you die. It kind of teaches you what the
bit
game's
by
about,
bit, yeah.
Bit by bit. Later on, you can upgrade and customize your ship with abilities like jump and a magnet ability, which brings power-ups towards you. Essentially, it's a very simple game, but that's what's so great about it.
Yeah.
It's very addictive. Imagine original Star Wolf, Star Wing graphics. Or if you're familiar with Kefa, it's very similar to Kefa.
I'm going to download it later and play it with the Star Wing soundtrack so I can do 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 do.
And on that note...
Yeah, on that note, thank you for listening, everyone. If you've liked the podcast, please check us out in iTunes where you can give us a cheeky rate and subscribe. You can also listen to... Oh god, I went to sneeze then. It slowed my rhythm down. You can also listen to us on TomAndMattAttack.com or BlastProcess.com. You can also find us on Twitter at TMAcast and on Facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack.
You're going too fast.
Until
mate.
Next
remember
week,
what we said
ladies
the other
and gentlemen.
Game on. Don't go too fast.
Slow down.